Introduction. A marvelous night. The deep blue sky, limpid and filled with an infinity of luminous bodies. How beautiful the nights of Rio Grande do Sul are. There is no magic like the cold nights of the southern winter. Beneath such scenic beauty and natural splendor, we cross the street connecting Carancio to Sarandi. We had not noticed in the midst of our silent concentration, we had joined a group of more than 30 persons. A break in the silence, respectful perhaps, was only perceived when an enormous orange disc appeared to be growing at an elevation of 50 degrees above the horizon. Beyond the Rio da Varesa, in the municipality of Palmeira das Missões, for many nights strange phenomena had been observed, and each time more impressive. The spectacles were very diverse. This continued until someone thought to sell hot dogs and coffee at the gate of the botanical farm. That parish where was somewhat different. Those home folk of Don Rodden lives now took to the streets at the night, waiting themselves in the dough of the cool nights in conjecturing about life on other worlds. It was also like this for the vicar Gionashi and his sect. Father Many people spoke on the radio that night after the nocturnal outlines of the humble couples. Months later, he admitted at least having seen a flying disc. The people philosophically discussed the possibilities of universal life. Sarandi was transforming itself rapidly into believers. The forces of reaction did not wait long to emerge. The phenomena that continued to appear frequently was being abandoned from observation. There was no lack also of identification. Some innocent, other ill-intentioned of light phenomena from automobiles on the horizon. Many readily observed and drew erroneous conclusions. It came to a point where observations in that locality became ridiculous. Many jokesters took it upon themselves to fool the public, launching balloons with lanterns. Only a few people came to accept this business seriously. The meetings and observations were kept secret, and the results were surprising. Persons of real position, such as Reverend Wagner of Afu Asu and Sir Juice Di Rieto, Mario Ferrari of Sarandi, were many times invited to compare points of observations concerning phenomena. The experiences of this group will not be described here. because they do not compare in magnitude with the account of the author of this work. However, they indicate that this region really was being visited by extraterrestrial beings of some kind. The investigative group came into contact one day with a simple and friendly man, Arthur Burlett. Since then, much has been said of the strange experience of the prefect employee. We judged until then that it was no more than a story involving one of those peculiar types that every city always has. The merits of his serious discovery must go to Carlos de Olivario Gomes, then manager of Agencia do Banco de Brasil in Sarandi. Carlos arranged a discussion in his residence. There were three men present: Carlos, Rui Schmitz, and I, to bombard Mr. Burlett with a list of sharp questions. After 7.5 hours of interrogation, we all were faced with the incredible reality. Burlett had traveled to another planet and was gone for 9 terrestrial days from 14th of May 58 to 23rd of the same month and year. We met repeatedly and never had any reason to doubt the verbal account of Mr. Burlett. There was an impressive seriousness about him, and he never sought to capitalize on his story. This was 1965, and the experience with Burlett had begun 7 years before that. So much time lost, so many years rejected by both religion and politics. The smallness of man in such that the most intelligent comment was that Burlett had gone to the moon by a tractor. The interest that he awakened in us prompted us as well to take interest in means to promote the story for the municipality and for him as well. In good faith, Burlett accepted our invitation to go to Porto Alegre. However, he did not know, perhaps in his own simplicity, the maltreatment that awaited him at the hands of the people. He was like a serious monster to be devoured by the curiosity of public and television. There he was varied by idiotic questions. There were also an official contact, where after drawing out facts in hours of exhausting interrogation, he was ridiculed by unfortunate reporting in the media. Be careful of him. Yes, Burlett, the hydrophobic, dangerous, crazy sensation seeker. Who knows whether he was an agent in the service of strangers? Only he speaks these things. Who knows the future? In the meantime, Burlett, the crazy, returned to Talbot more calm than any. There was little difference between having been the crazy of Porto Alegre and having gone to the moon on a tractor in Sarandi. But we suggested proceeding against the defamers, and when a veteran smiled and calmly replied, "Nobody is obliged to believe my account, and the fact that they do not believe does not change the reality of my experience. I will continue to answer there only that is asked." In August of 65, we already had full knowledge of the bullet case when we received a visit by a great Brazilian investigator, Dr. Walter Carl Bühler, who was conducting an interesting inquiry in the nearby city of Carinzo. We had by then brought to his attention the news of the flying disc at Sarandi. It was a very great pleasure for the group as well, as of much value to our study. From him we received criticism and advice which we value much, even until today. We can say for certain that if it were not for such help by the Sociedad Brasileira de Estudos sobre Discos Voadores, by its president, Dr. Bühler, perhaps it would have been impossible to publish this work. There is much beyond appearances in arranging to publish this story. Moreover, Bühler would not consent to any modification of his account, and would not allow us to increase the price due us, and principally to Dr. Bühler, a labor to help it, without offering any return for our labor and loan. Great were the difficulties to publish this work at first due to our total lack of experience in this method of diffusion. Above all, we had to consider its principal requirement. It must be prepared in complete honesty. It is true to the originals furnished by the authors. All that was altered was essential grammar to facilitate the understanding of to the reader. It is not, nor is it intended to be, a great literary work, but a sincere account in a personal language of the author, of his experience, unedited. In this we have tried to maintain the same basic construction of phrases and the same application of words in the original text. There are many original words and Gonchakas expressions of the local colonial German and Italian Rio Granders. The astronomical data furnished in this story is interesting, since it does not coincide with the knowledge up to now of our neighbors in the solar system. Bühler, though without affirming it, always gave us the impression that he might have been to planet Mars. The only data to actually confirm this is that the planet visited possessed two satellites that, in reality, according to Bühler, were two artificial platforms. The account of Bühler was written by him after his return with great difficulty due to his daily problems in obtaining bread for each day. His narrative filled 14 scholars' notebooks, which he could consider a work of joy. His flagrant spontaneity His clear and precise impressions are, as well as his natural psychological motivations, are beyond reproach. The linguistic faculties of the author are incontestably colored by German, the language which Bollert learned as a boy before Portuguese. He was born in 1931 in the middle of Sarandi, Rio Grande do Sul, working until a very short time after the experience in the profession of tractor operator for the city. Due to an explosion in a quarry where he was working, he lost one leg. He is a descendant of German and French blood. Otto Bollert presents a fine physical appearance, tall, bronze-skinned, dark brown hair and blue eyes. He is a perfectly normal man and enjoys exceptional physical health with no signs of mental debility, as was maliciously accounted by the press media. He is a hardworking man, simple and efficient, and well known by the populace of Sarandi, who always consider him to be a serious and honest man. He only possesses a primary education, having terminated his schooling in the first year. Meanwhile, he is intelligent and observant, know to assimilate with no difficulty to him all the profound collective knowledge that his voyage aboard a flying disc to another planet has brought him. His account, such as the work you are now hold, demonstrate the confidence of a highly evolved spirit, of a more advanced mentality, of a cosmogonic moral of certain existence on another inhabited worlds and other infinities of our and other galaxies. It is a mission of to reveal new horizons, to open the eyes to all, to the smallness of prideful humans caught in many prejudices, to bring to the human of Earth a message more human and a more advanced for understanding by the public and perhaps to their assimilation. For this, the author of this collaborators feel highly recompensed. The author will have then, in large part, paid off his promises to a cart. Signed by Rio de Janeiro, November of 67, Jorge Ernesto Macedo Geisel. This is down on page 12 in this PDF book. Next is statement by the author.
Så leser vi opp fra selve boka. Det først en statement. Then we read from the book a statement from the author, Otto Bollert. He says, "Dear reader, you certainly cannot ignore that in Brazil, as well as in all other countries on earth, we have thousands of asylums filled with locos at times so-called for being embodied in a human person, and the world from his side real. All of the persons of weak ideas who are brought to make a profound examination of the humanity that actually inhabits this earth of Adam and Eve, and who mentally place all the things here in their various places, in my option, run the danger of leaving this world of free logos. To inhabit the world of those imprisoned logos in our asylums. But are these imprisoned logos really the most dangerous ones? Their field of action only extends to where they can reach with their nails and teeth? Does there not exist, perhaps at liberty, other locals more dangerous because they hold the terrestrial world in their hands, and with one word or gesture can exterminate man from the face of earth? And who are these? They are the great statesmen or scientists of our age who, seeking power and revenge, convoking the human earth, and if they desire a total catastrophe, without the least said, it can appear. The general human of earth is retroceding to such a point that without us knowing it, we are below the primitive inhabitants of the caves, who, contrary to us, struggled against the adversities to preserve their lives, which gave them the proper valor, whereas we are doing everything to destroy ourselves. We are convinced, dear reader, that many of our earth brothers are loco. Is this not so? Many are already of advanced age and the ultimate degrees of scale that rises this life to another, with the services provided, money and honors to merit the hottest cauldron that exists in hell, and thus they continue to pray their beads and sacrifices millions of lives for one capricious person, and when not accompanied by another half dozen locals. Why do such people not think on the reality of life and enjoying the last days of life they have, living peacefully? Is it not that they do not know that from one moment to the next they can flee this life and then have all they want of riches, honor and glory? They go instead as the poorest of mendigos. Locos, locos, nothing more. Very well, and what about you? In the first place, I want to make it very clear that I am not a scientist, statesman, or psychiatrist to be conjecturing on such business. If I embarked on these terrains, it was only to give an idea of a comparison with what I relate to follow. I would like to tell you a truth, but as I have already explained, perhaps it would be difficult to make you understand the actual state that our world is in. Thus being, not wanting to enter into a collision of politics with those who do not care to admit the veracity of my account, despite that I was said that what was said in our discussions with SBEDI in Rio de Janeiro, however it was formed, to give support to persons who have experiences such as my own. My conscience is satisfied with this account, together with my advisors and some persons with whom I worked and knew in 1958, as will be related later. I have furnished a summary in the form of a questionnaire which precedes my narrative. I try to cover the points which to me seem most important. This is arranged in the form of questions and answers. Arthur Burlett. Then next in the book is the contents of the book, which I do not read up here. Instead, I go to summary of questions. We will pretend for this moment that you are the interrogator. I will explain the case as you ask the questions. I was taken to another planet. Question: when did this happen and where? Answer: it in May of 58 in Sarandi, Rio de Grande do Sul. What means of locomotion was used to get there? Answer: that of the other planet. Question: what do they call that planet? Answer: for them, a cart, for us terrestrials, probably Mars. Why is it probably Mars? Answer: because I don't know exactly where our sister planets are located within our solar system. They perhaps were not interested in explaining to me. How did they do this? Was it by mutual agreement or by abduction? Answer: neither the one nor the other. It was like, I was walking on foot on the highway in the direction of the city of Sarandi. It was already dark when I saw this strange and luminous object near the ditch of a farm. I left the street and went closer to verify what it was. And, as I saw no life near, I went still closer. When I discovered at less than 10 meters the appearance of two individuals who turned a light on me that blinded me and made me lose consciousness, only recovering 30 or so hours later, when I already found myself there. I knew later that I had come with them, having in the end collected grains and vegetables for experiments. Their commander had judged me to be a farmer, contrary to the rest of the crew, and decided to take me, despite their laws providing heavy penalties for whoever touches or does anything bad to a terrestrial. And when I arrived there, after movements and counter-movements, they resolved to punish him with a change of work, reassigning the commander of the interplanetary ship to operator of a solar steel mine. I logically asked to be returned. Question: and this ship, what was it like and how was it moved? Answer: rounded of more or less 30 meters in diameter. The form was of two bowls, one inverted over the other, with a part that protruded on the inferior part as well as the superior surface. It moved by solar energy. What is the distance to that planet? Answer: approximately 62 millions of kilometers at that time. What was the velocity developed by that ship? Answer: in space between 400 and 500 kilometers per second, and within the atmosphere, here as well as there, a tenth part. Why the difference? Answer: because in space it is moved by an attraction apparatus, and in the atmosphere with rotating motors. What are the Akkadians like? One could say much like us, only more pallid. All that I saw were white, were with white hair and color of straw, except a few who had dark hair, median stature greater than ours, about the color I would risk saying that their blood is not as red as ours, but red, yes. How did you understand them? By mime or some dialect? Answer: in German tongue. Are you saying that they speak tongues of Earth? Answer: they speak various, at least their principles here. In what manner? As they explained to me, it was an enterprise very bold that took much work. In various excursions they made on Earth, to Earth. They photographed signs, recorded transmissions, voices, etc., and made comparisons, finally coming to acquire books in the language that interest them. Are you saying that there had already been times when they came to Earth? Answer: for more or less 10 Arcartio years. Then they know many things about us? Answer: I believe that 50% of them know more about what happened here than 90% of us. Do they believe in God or a supreme being? Answer: yes, they believe. What is their standard of living? Answer: very high, because they are people that one could say had already arrived at perfection. Then they do not have the problems that worry us? Answer: no, but on the contrary, they have a graver one, and that is their superpopulation. And they have no plan in sight to resolve this problem? Answer: they have, yes. And what? At our expense, was answered. How, in what manner do they want to venture an invasion on Earth and make war against us? Answer: no, not exactly that which they want. If it were not for their high humanitarian religious sense, perhaps they would do it. But then? Answer: as I already said, for some decade Eckhart has come observing us. They know all of our plans, at least movements do not escape them. Then are they permanently here? Answer: almost, since the only abundant earth at times when a cart and earth are most proximate, and the rest of the time they use the moon. Despite its being sterile, it is an intermittent station. Likewise here on Earth, in remote places they station themselves. I can tell you that the ships can remain up to a year in space without resupply of oxygen or alimentation. But in the end, what is their plan? Answer: well, it is the following. As I said, they have that problem of overpopulation to resolve. Through experiments made here, they come to the conclusion that with a period of adaptation, they would live perfectly well on Earth. But then come the problem that here on Earth, as well already is felt this problem in some regions, and besides this, a mixture of races. What could they do? Succumb to a massacre the terrestrials? They have the power to do this in a few minutes. However, in this case, the human conscience would not allow them to commit such an act. But there emerges over us a dark cloud of destruction, which illuminates their hopes to live and inhabit the earth without complicity. What cloud is this? Answer: it is the great atomic preparations that the humans of Earth are preparing with such perfection, dedication and care for their mutual destruction. This, the Akkartians understand perfectly well, is going to happen, because they know of bomb for bomb manufactured and where it is placed, as well as word for word the plans of any government here on Earth. They also know of the coming destruction of up to 75% of people of Earth without the least interference by them. If they wanted to precipitate a catastrophe, they could, with some interference in some system of radar or an airplane in flight, or whatever of the factions that would be decreed to destroy the major part of the humans of Earth, which would abbreviate their plans. They said that action such as this never would be practiced by them. But what about a future Earth contaminated with radioactive poison overall, or can it be restored? Answer: for them this is no problem, because they have already had their atomic era and have overcome it without major difficulties due to their mutual comprehension. They are not like us who seek to make arms to destroy ourselves and not to save us from destructions. The Akkartians have apparatus that in a few hours could transform the atomic poison into fertilizer for only creatures and vegetation. However, if there is total conflagration, nobody on Earth will benefit but them. You spoke of their powers. Can you mention any form of theirs? Answer. The armament power rests on two weapons, the solar disintegrator and the solar neutralizer. The last is employed in medicine and to combat the plagues of farmers. Speaking of farmers, what are their foods? Answer. Their alimentation is much like ours of vegetables and meat, such as fish and other animals. It is logical that the majority differs from our alimentations as much in the seeds as in the plants and fruits. I, for example, ate almost exclusively on the flesh of fish and a dark mass that was a kind of bread. It was made from the seeds of a plant similar to coffee. In this case, wheat, which came from a tree. A new question. How was the climate? It was intensely cold. In day for a being from here to walk from one side to another, we had to walk very, very well protected. During the night, nobody spoke. And the days were like those here? No. The days there were 46 hours versus over 24. And years? Theirs had 353 days. 353. In every 6 years, they had one with 352. Their means of locomotion? Only by air, is answer. I only saw vehicles on wheels on a farm and a kind of train. This was subterranean, automatic and without conductor. There were some little levers on the platforms that, when the train is approaching, the passenger pushes forward and the train stops there and the doors opens. Once embarked, the door closes and makes a connection that puts the train in motion. To stop it is enough to open a door. Each car has two doors, one on each side, almost be closed for the train to move. Some of the other vehicles for cargo are heavy. They employ these ships that travel in space. For transportation of passengers, there are small ships that can carry from 2 to 1,000 passengers. They are a kind of body like an airplane without wings, with scarcely a guide aft. They are powered by 2 solar motors, one in front and the other on top, with a turbine type helis. These ships could stand still in the air and fly around inside of a room. They are made of a very light, super resistant material. Does their planet have a satellite like our moon? Answer. No, it doesn't have. They have 2 gigantic space platforms that orbit the planet. These have thousands of vehicle stations on them, ready for any eventuality. At first I confused them for natural satellites. After some explanations I received, I knew they were simply artificial platforms. Where their cities conducted like ours? Answer, their cities were like here. The narrow streets and ruas served only for pedestrians. The houses were like here. If it were not for the small platforms in front of the four faces, where small ships were parked. They were not made of wood blocks nor concrete, but seemed to be of a laminated steel of various colors, very light. I believe it was the same material as the ships. As best I could see, those houses, buildings, and structures up to 100 or less feet were prefabricated. In daylight, the multicolor reflections came to hurt the eyes like the sun. At night, the streets had no need for illumination, due to the resplendence of the walls. Inside, all the rooms were padded with a thick, clumsy fabric. What was their system of government? Answer, well, I don't know what they call it. I have no qualification to do so. I believe it is more or less like this. Take a little of each system here and give it a name. No in relationship to that, I suppose. It has some many details to its laws and customs. Did they ask you to keep all this secret? No, answer no. They knew that nobody was going to believe such fairy tales. But what if somebody did come to believe? Answer. Then the life of man of earth would be prolonged. How many days did the trip endure? Answer. 8 days. You brought nothing to prove it? Answer. Much less than I took. When I went with the belly full. When I returned, I felt like it had been 40 hours, fearing that I must examine the ailmentation ingested. And the return trip? Answer, about that I could tell you of many things. For this I would have to use many words, scientific and technical words, and it would take 20 to 30 sheets of paper. Because of this, a summary here would be difficult. I will refer to this later. I have it all written down in a detailed account. On your return, did they leave you in the same place? Answer, no. They disembarked me very close to the city, since I had a long walk afoot and was ill. I felt very, very weak. Did your friends notice your absence? Answer, no. At the time, I worked as a traveling photographer. I often remained up to 20 days traveling. At that time, I was walking to make past due collections. What did you do when you got back to your house? Answer. First, I re-established myself. After that, I resumed my daily work. Every night, I took paper and pencil in hand and continued writing the whole account in detail. It took a little less than a year. It covered 400 pages of manuscript. Question. What intentions did you write this account? Answer, perhaps so as not to forget what happened there. To finalize this summary here, I say to whoever has the unhappiness to critic it, praise or cut according to your own judgment. Interpret as best you can. No one point. I know that all will agree with me on. It is of great importance to the humanity of Earth to let go of the hand that it is so much developing this atomic energy, which up to now has proved of little use, except a big headache. We must dedicate ourselves to the means of discovery and development of solar energy, which will be useful to all, big and small. This is not the full story of atomic energy, actually. Few things are developed for peaceful purposes. Only the great can utilize it. The less fortunate never come close to getting it. When they most need it, to utilize it. It is signed so long with Arthur Burlett. Then I finish this introduction and go on another file with the book itself.